Hello and welcome to the Astrology Oddcast with me, Francesca Oddi. We're going to look at November the 8th and the next week. We have the new moon in Scorpio, which is exciting. I'm doing my retreat. I've got a train to catch, so I have to be disciplined because, I started the pod twice yesterday and I went on. You'd probably really enjoy it. I don't think I'm being very careful and being very awkward about talking about things, but ultimately I just end up getting too far down the road that I'm like, just come back and stick to astrology and stop tying yourself in knots. So that's what I have to be disciplined with because I quite literally have a train to catch. What a time. And thank you everyone in my Instagram stories. I've definitely touched on something because I've been researching and looking at what is going on. People are asking me anyway, like, how does the astrology reflect what's going on these unprecedented times? Like, what are we seeing? And oh God, I've got the video on and on Zoom because that's where I'm recording. And when I move my hands around, it activates some kind of weird AI thing and balloons start going off and stuff. Very odd. Anyway. Yeah, what are these unprecedented times? It's at the beginning of October. I knew October was intense. I don't think I expected this, but you never do. I've said that the astrology shows you intensity, but then when the intensity actually happens, you're like, well, something could be this. And but it's not new. I think that's also interesting. There's so many, a few years ago. What, I don't know, 4 years ago, Syria was being bombed and no one really cared. Like, people cared a bit, but not like this. And that's when you get into interesting territory. I think with Pluto in Capricorn, and that's what I'm deep diving for the retreat, because Pluto rules Scorpio. So we're in Scorpio season right now. We've got the new moon in Scorpio on Monday morning, 9:30 a.m. UK. Which is then you do your time zones wherever you are before, we are GMT now, no more BST. So 9:30 a.m. GMT. And we've also currently, Venus is at 0:00 Libra as I make this, which is interesting. Maybe, trying to make the podcast from Venus yesterday was at 29, the awkward degree of Virgo was just making me super critical because Virgo is about refinement, isn't it? Virgo is sorting the wheat from the chaff and deciding what's good and deciding what we want to keep and what we want to get rid of. So with all that Virgo energy, I was just like hypercritical because we had moon, the moon is still in Virgo. So yesterday we had moon and Venus in Virgo. But it was good. I got so much done yesterday. I got up, but like I set the alarm at 6:30 and then was like, fuck that. Snooze. And I skipped yoga. And sometimes skipping yoga is bad, and sometimes skipping yoga is the right thing to do. And it was so, I just lay in bed being like, oh, can you imagine if I was 14 years old and I had to go to school and I could just sack it off? I just sacked it right off. It felt great. And then I went for a run instead in the sunshine, which was really nice. But my God, I was busy after that. Busy, busy. Virgo, like getting everything sorted. Now Venus has moved to Libra, which does bode well for all of us because Venus rules Libra. So with Venus in Libra now for the next, I haven't actually checked when she moves to Scorpio. Should I check now? I can do because this is a podcast and we can edit it. So I don't need to panic. So Venus, when Venus going to move to Scorpio, please? 4th of December. Venus moves to Scorpio on the 4th of December. So yeah, it's what? Today's the 8th. So it's almost a month. And with Venus in Libra, the focus is on relationships and harmony and beauty, and there's just more desire to understand the other. There's more desire for diplomacy. There's more desire to relate. There's more desire to connect. Venus, the transit can bring up the opposite, can bring up like the contrariness and the willful need to bring balance to a situation. So kind of the subconscious subconscious love of drama, because then Venus in Libra is like, yes, I'm here. But I think as a transit, not as opposed to a personal placement, it is bringing an element of let's try and understand each other, which is important. Instead of being critical and going, Venus and Virgo, like, I love you, but you're late, oh, I love you, but you said you'd do this. It's more like, okay, let's relate. And if I called this year the love revolution, which I have a million times, and that it's very much about values, and therefore there's interesting stuff about money. It's all the there's so much Venus this year. The eclipses were in Taurus, Libra. The nodes, the South Node is in Libra, so Venus will be meeting the South Node at a certain point, probably about the 30th of November. I don't think that'll be. I'll have to check, but yeah, about it. I know that, but I'm not going to look up the exact date. I should have my ephemeris up, shouldn't I? Let me do that. The 27th of November, which is a full moon in Gemini, actually, Venus will be conjunct the South Node. So that's interesting. I was reading my write-up for that full moon, which is in a fortnight, and I it wasn't great. It's not the most positive full moon thing I've ever written. It's not terrible. It's just like I think it's quite anxious and highly strung, and everybody's a bit fractious at that full moon in a fortnight, but we'll see. We'll see. And I'll dig into it. I don't want to leave you with that, actually. Bear with. I don't want to leave you with negativity. But yeah, I picked the Nine of Swords, which is the dark night of the soul, which basically suggests that our thoughts create our reality. And that if you're stuck in a negative thought bog, then you will feel negative. So that the call to action with this full moon, or the synchronicity, or the lesson, or the message from the moon would be do something to get out of your head into your body. The anxiety that is created from the stories that are allowed to brew when you don't kind of talk to anyone, or you just sit with things, or you drink too much, or you're not eating enough, you know, you're not exercising enough. If you allow things, if you're not really, really taking care, then that could spin out of control. It can still happen. We're not able to completely control ourselves. You know, depression happens irrespective of taking all the self-care steps, but there's levels of it. And you know, the hangover, for instance, the from Thanksgiving, you know, that's just bear in mind if you are American, if you do have Thanksgiving and you are nailing all the sugar, that you might want to just really take extra steps to make sure, like, okay, great, but I'm going to go and meditate. I'm going to go for a walk in nature. I'm going to go and have a bath. I'm going to have a long shower. But taking time away is what's going to be helpful. Okay, that was a little full moon at the end of the month. It's all good. I will be looking forward to it. It's a full moon in Gemini. I'm rising Gemini. I'm here for that energy boost. But I just imagine that it will be kind of like maybe even could be quite exhausting because it's going to be square to Saturn. Saturn's in Pisces, so we've got mutable energy, a lot of movement, a lot of thought, a lot of chaos. And it's just it's always, I think every year, I always talk about the full moon in Gemini. It's always November, December. And it's a time of year where everybody's kind of knackered and overwrought and over anxious. And it's just like, right, calm down, slow down, always. Always. Okay, so it's Scorpio season, as I was saying. Venus is now in Libra, bringing diplomacy, but we have the Sun and Mars and Ceres and Mercury still all in Scorpio, and Pluto rules Scorpio, and Pluto is at 28 of Capricorn, right at the end. She. That was interesting. Okay. Pluto has been in Aquarius this year already. So it's very, very much at a turning point, at a massive collective shift, massive perspective shift. And I've been deep diving because I wanted to create some banging information and perspective for the retreat this weekend, where there's, you know, something new, something. If you're coming on the retreat, which obviously hardly anyone is, it's a small retreat and there's a lot more of you listening to this, but still. You know, I want it to be, it's a first of its kind where I'm doing advanced astrology. And it's like, okay, how do we do this? How do we integrate this into practices as well? Given that Saturn is in Pisces, and this is for everyone, Saturn is where we learn the hard way, or at least we pay attention and there are lessons to be had. And it's in Pisces, it's about our spiritual practice, which is what I was just alluding to with the full moon that's going to be aspecting Saturn in 2 weeks' time. And therefore, with Saturn in Pisces as a collective, for all of us, how are we applying practically? Because Saturn is like practical material stuff. How are you like doing things that are going to support you in connecting. And whether that's not being on your phone on the bus or the train, staring out the window a little bit, allowing space for inspiration to come in, or it is classical, get up at 5 a.m. and meditate for an hour, which like is highly unrealistic, it's particularly in the Northern Hemisphere in winter. It's cold, cold. Although it can be nice to light a candle and stay in bed and at least just have a mindful 5 minutes breathing, you know, before you do anything else. If you can do that, just kind of reorientate, like, hi, I'm a human. I'm on Earth. People piss me off, but I love them really. Please let me spend today being grateful for people, grateful for things, and don't let me forget to be nice. You know, it's just that, because that's kind of a jovial version of what we do, isn't it? It's like, thank you, gratitude. You go to yoga and ultimately it's like, oh yeah, I can be nice. Oh yeah, I do love people. I mean, that's how it is for me. Because you're just so fast. Need to do this, need to do that. And then you just, it's just like, can you remember that you're not just that? And so whatever that is for you, whether it's, sometimes even it's just turning the radio off for a minute and be like, fuck, I just don't actually always need noise. I know not everyone suffers with that. I go to my friend's house and she never has the radio on. And I'm always like, why is your house like a mausoleum? Like, can you put the radio on, please? It's just silent. All you can hear is like the hum of the fridge. But it's taking the time to kind of spiritual energy, God, because that's a Saturn lesson. And I'm very curious. That poll that I've put in Instagram stories about how do you deal with bitterness has gone through the roof. And I think that's because of this astrology, because it is Scorpio season, because we do have Pluto at the end of Capricorn and people are dealing with this stuff. Because I put questions up in Instagram all the time and everybody's like piling in with their information, their feedback, their experiences. I'm really curious about the astrology of forgiveness and the ability to let go. You know, I fixed signs or fixed mutable signs or mutable find it easy to change. Fixed, don't. I mean, that's kind of obvious. Cardinal, not sure. But I would say anyone with cardinality, I would just look to the predominance of either mutability or fixity and just be like, yeah, cardinal, whatever. I think cardinality would be pretty keen to use energy as fuel for change, because cardinal people like to make things happen. Just for context, cardinal signs begin each season: Aries, Libra, Cancer, Capricorn. Mutables are Gemini, Sag, Virgo, Pisces. They're very changeable. And the fixed signs are Taurus, Scorpio, Aquarius, Leo. Just for context, if you don't know what the hell I'm on about. And yeah, I'm very curious. And what I'd also like to understand is if you are really fixed, if you are very Scorpio, very Leo, very Aquarius, very Taurus, how have you found a way to let go? Have you got to the root of that? Because I think there's such power. I think forgiveness is the ultimate power. I really do. I think being able to let things go and get beyond bitterness and live your life, whether it's little things or big things, is power. It's freedom. It says you're secure. It says you have perspective. It says you are self, you love life, you love yourself, you choose joy. You know, there's such power in that. And not allowing other people to have power over you, not allowing anything to have power over you. Now, it's not that easy. We'd all click our finger and be like, well, yeah, I've forgiven you. And I remember Avril Price talking about this years ago, being like, there's a lot of, you know, affirmations and steps for us to try and learn forgiveness. And there's a lot of saying you've forgiven someone. It's very different to say you've forgiven someone and actually forgive them. And the key is, okay, how are we going to do that? Especially if it doesn't come naturally, and especially if it's tricky. And who's teaching us about this? Because this is love in a very challenging situation. It's not just, it's easy to love people we like, but it's like, okay, how, and wholeheartedly do it. Anyway, I think that's that. My voice, I'm really struggling with my voice, which is interesting. I don't know why. Maybe it's the damp. Can I blame the damp for all this? So, Pluto, Scorpio, and the Pluto transits to the chart of Israel and Palestine. That is a massive October about the astrology of Israel. I've been reading in a book about how historians and politicians would benefit so much from looking at the chart of a country because it gives you the perspective of what's being experienced in the collective. And Venus is in Libra and we want to relate to one another, don't we? Need to understand what the other person's going through. And so much of your feedback on my Instagram question about how do you deal with bitterness, it's like, what's the other person going through? Try and understand the other person's perspective. So the only way really to reconciliation, whether it's global politics or you and me, is to try and understand and accept and relate. And at the minute, what we're seeing is being the only things I know is from social media and then like BBC radio. And I don't trust the government anyway. I don't trust whatever's in the headlines, full stop, because I've seen when I really researched something and I really, really knew what I was talking about, I completely understood the extent of the lies and incorrectness in the media. It's astounding. And it's not the fault of independent journalists because they're just doing their job, but the information that's given isn't the whole story. And if we believe something, that it's very, 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 very easy for a nation's news headline, like on every outlet, to just be bullshit because everybody's just telling the same thing. Everybody's got the same hymn sheet, like Chinese whispers. It's very easy for that to happen, and I've seen that happen where you just get one perspective. And so I have a massive distrust of the media. Huge. Like, yeah. Therefore, like, now I'm skeptical of everything. And I'm not skeptical. I'm not like calm. I think everybody listening to this understands. I hope no one's gonna like shout at me, but not saying enough. I'm just trying to do the astrology. But and obviously I am against the bombing of children. Again, there's certain things that don't need to be said, but you know what? I'm going to say it. It doesn't really matter, does it? About the history of the region, of the ongoing politics, the fact that people are being bombed is the problem. That let's address that problem now. Like two people are fighting. Let's say husband and wife are going for each other. They're punching the shit out of each other. She's like, "I'm going to fucking kill him. He's cheated on me. I'm going to kill him." Okay, yeah. I see that. I respect that you're angry and you're going to kill him. Or in a better context, it'd be about violence. Anyway, either way, the initial problem is let's not kill each other. Let's calm down. And then let's try and find a solution. But you can't, that's why it's really difficult to talk about this because there's going to be some people who are aggressively filled with hate, but there's also a lot that aren't. And I think we need to be aware of the hate. We need to be aware of the darkness and can't assume that everybody's just like us and everybody just wants the best for everyone because there's some real venom. And I think that's why I wanted to talk about bitterness. And that's why I've got that Instagram story because ultimately we are the collective. So the people who are able to let go and live in peace, and then there's those who like, I don't forget, I'm very bitter. And they're like, yeah, that's me. Well, then you're adding that to the collective. And every single one of us, whatever we're putting out, either we're like, okay, forgiving, let's live in peace. And that's what you add to the collective. Or you're like, fuck them. They deserve everything they get. And if that's your attitude, that's what you're pouring out. And that's where we're seeing it manifest. You know, that's Jungian psychology, that we are part of the collective soup, that everything we do on a personal level manifests within something bigger, that we are all one. If we are all one and we go back to oneness and we're all connected, either you believe that or you don't. And I think if you do, then that's why we have a personal responsibility to see how we are behaving in this war, in this time of war, with this time of intense Pluto transits, where people are in survival mode, in the same way that if you were being attacked by someone in your house and they were about to set off a bomb and they were holding their children in front of them, you'd just be like, you'd just take them all out because so that the lunatic didn't set the bomb off. Like that is, they are in survival. And this is a perspective, by the way. I'm just trying to understand why. And then, okay, so if that's the case, how do we, what are we trying to achieve? What are we going to stop? Because it's like, what, from an astrological perspective, this is what Pluto does. It's like, how nuts can you go? When we're all nuts, you know, when you're in survival mode, sorry for using nuts in a blasé way, because, but do you understand what I'm trying to convey? Is it's like, when you're in this, it's a crime of passion. When you're in passion, this is Pluto. Pluto is that kind of energy that's making you blind with rage, blind with love, blind with something. And it's hardening, it hardens your heart to a situation. And somehow, whatever is playing on, this is a collective. We're all part of this. It's not over happening over there. We're all part of it. You know, this is, and it's not just there. It's just that for whatever reason, the world is focusing on the Middle East, but there's atrocities in Africa and there's atrocities here, there's atrocities there. And there has been for years. Again, I'm not trying to be an expert on Middle East politics because I don't know. I'm trying to do the astrology. Just reminding for anybody getting mad. So what is the astrology showing us? It's showing us that Pluto is on the moon of Palestine, it's on the IC of Israel, and the survival mode has gone through the roof from both ends. Attack as defense. It's gone through the roof. The global response is what's kind of curious. That people are just sitting and watching, that we're not encouraging ceasefires, that we're funding, that we're why? Why do we get involved in some situations and not others? And what is the agenda behind it? Like questioning what you're told, which needs to be questioned because you're told what the people in charge want you to know. We're peasants. We are peasants in the 15th century, 14th century, working away, listening to the landowners and doing as we're told. We're no different. We think, this is what I realized 2 years ago. We think we're educated and you've got a degree and you know, you've been to Oxford or Cambridge and you think you're bright and you've done well and you've played the system and you've got a good job and you've earned money and you've gone on holiday and you've got a nice car. So you think you're an intellect in control of your life. You're not, you're a peasant. You're a peasant who's being told what to do by the government. Unless you're up at the top echelons of society and you are aware that you're being played and you're part of a system and that your taxes and your whole life, your whole way of thinking, your whole identity is wedded intimately to the state and to the structures that you've been raised within, you don't get it. And I think that's what it is. We overestimate the freedoms that we have, and maybe because we don't use them. Like the internet's there, but how many critical thinkers are there? Not enough. More and more and more, because as shit gets weirder and more people are like, excuse me, and go off and read for themselves and think for themselves and, yeah, all the rest of it. But I think it struck me in 2020, I was like, geez. You know, they say stay home and we stay home and that's it. The peasants do as they're told. And it was, you know, I was all for it in March 2020, but by November 2020, I was not. And a lot of people were not, like solid 30-40% were ignoring it. But the people who weren't ignoring it believed everybody was doing it and it was the right thing to do and it was achieving something. But a lot of people who ignored it and broke all the rules were fine. And so, yeah, there's some big questions, which might be a bit much. You know, I keep making this podcast and then I keep backtracking. What's the point? this is what I think. And this is how I think the astrology is manifesting. And with Pluto and Capricorn, who is the enemy? What are we surviving against? What is the issue? Capricorn stuff in the same way. 2020, what was the Saturn Pluto conjunction about in 2020? Saturn and Pluto in Capricorn, the state, regulation, power, control. That has, if you look at astrology, it keeps you focused, it keeps you away from the headlines and away from the noise, and it keeps your eyes on the issue, if you believe in astrology, which I hope you do. And I hope you don't believe it. I hope you understand it. I hope you understand astrology. I hope you see that these things play out, and then it's really, really interesting if you can give language to your life, to your talents, to your skills, to your issues, to your romances, to your medical stuff. And then when you look at the that's why it's powerful now. I think it's really, really important to understand that we've got countries in survival mode. Because I, even on the one hand, it's really obvious. But on the other hand, I was looking at this for the past 3 weeks, being like, what the hell is going on? How is it that people can justify bombing people? How is it? You know, and what do you do? If we just keep repeating ourselves, ceasefire, ceasefire. How can they do this? How can they do this? It's like, okay, but we need to seek to understand, like, why? Where are they at? What is the motivation and how are they feeling? And then can there be an appeal somehow? I think that when Pluto moves to Aquarius in January, there will be a shift. There will be some kind of shift in the way people feel and the understanding of the government, the people, the humans. Pluto will move to Aquarius, a sign of the crowd, the sign of the humanitarian, the side of the freedom fighter. When I first started teaching astrology, I'd be like, the Aquarians are there with their placards being like, you know, animal rights, be vegan. Aquarius is all about that. It's the freedom fighters. They're the ones who kind of camp out outside Westminster just fighting about things that they care about. Free Julian Assange. It's all Aquarius stuff. So when Pluto moves to Aquarius, the people will you know, stand up. And I saw Gael Sasson, actually. I watched a quick video of his because he's Israeli and he's an astrologer, a cosmic navigator. And I, you know, I don't watch everything. Everyone does. You could spend your whole bloody life on the internet. But I was curious to see how his tone, or just 5 minutes of like, what's his thoughts on what's going on? And he was just like, look, the people need to speak up and appeal to their humanity, because the governments are just going to bomb. It's going to do crazy shit. We all get stuck, you know, Brexit or no Brexit, whatever you thought. But let's say the people, the Remainers, I'll speak to the Remainers. And, you know, I travel now and they go, oh, Brexit, what did you do? I'm like, fuck off. You know, I didn't do it. And I'm not very upset either way. I understand the case for Brexit. I understand that there's a lot of annoying things. I can't travel as much. I have to get bloody visas and do this and do that. And it's not great for the economy. There's no good service staff anymore. And, you know, we don't want to have borders. But ultimately, Europe had a border. Europe has a big fucking border. And so, you know, if you're Maldivian or Indian, it doesn't really matter, does it? Brexit or no Brexit, I don't think. Because it's not like we had an open border to the rest of the world. It was just Europe. Anyway, sorry, I don't know why I'm talking about Brexit. The point is with Brexit is we all have individual opinions, and we, as much as we are part of a collective, we also get wrapped up in things that we're not a part of, or you don't want to be a part of, or that you're here karmically to fight against. And so when I travel and they're like, what did you do? It's really interesting that people are slightly accusing, and their tone is a bit like, peasant, English idiot, what did you do? I'm like, well, I didn't do it. But I guess I did, if I stand by this idea that the collective does it, and I am part of the collective, and I can't pretend I'm not. But some people reject that and be like, well, I'm a absolute individual, and keep your collective idea is stupid, and you need to get over it. I think I've said enough, probably too much, and I'm probably gonna regret. I don't want to say anything that I regret, but I inevitably, I just need to get over it, to be honest. This is what I think. I don't trust governments. I do trust people, but we need to have something to replace it with. And like, what you need a you need the arc. We need the arc. So if everybody is very, very angry with governments and leaders as being inept with Pluto in Capricorn, the Saturn Pluto in Capricorn, Matt Hancock shagging, Boris lying, you know, it's be Pluto in Capricorn. Everybody's very, very annoyed with leaders, whether it's Trump or Biden being like dementia, Sleepy Joe. No one's got a good word to say about any of them, which probably means it's right because Pluto's moving to Aquarius and there will be a new problem. I want to say solution, but the problem will shift because it's still Pluto. So Pluto will move to Aquarius and like we'll just have death by committee because no one make a decision. We don't want that. But then you get the despotic 1984 Orwellian insanity where everything's just tech and we're paying with the chip in our arm or like your iris or your palm print, and you need your bloody fingerprints everywhere you go. Social credit system, 15-minute cities. These are problems. These are problems. More local governments, more smaller community. If they're run well, great. You know, and I hope that Pluto and Aquarius breeds and will breed some really amazing eco communities. People are going off grid, they're getting away, and we won't have these massive powers, these Capricorn mountain goats who have got to the top. Pluto, he's got Pluto at the top of his chart, either natally or by transit. I can't remember when I looked at it. And, you know, people like Putin, where like a lot of Russians obviously don't agree. And you just have these leaders, all these leaders. Who are these leaders? We elected them, apparently. But they aren't doing what they're supposed to. They're not leading. And that's our Pluto and Capricorn lesson, really. You know, it's part of it. It's part of the Pluto and Capricorn transit. And that is why I'm digging into it. And we will talk about it more because it's reaching a pinnacle. It's reaching a pinnacle. It's culminating. It's intensifying. It's ready to leave and it's finishing what it started and whatever the agendas, you know, the puppets, the politicians we see, the things we know about are not the real leaders. They're just the puppets. They're just the voices. So, you know, critical thinkers, the bankers, the people with the money are in the background pulling the strings. And they are the ones who need war. And there is some darkness that we need to look at. In the same way that you can't ignore your shadow, that if you ignore your psychology, if you ignore your trauma, if you ignore things, you will act them out in your relationships and in your life, and they will be problems. Because anything that's unconscious, it drives you unconsciously. Okay, I've got to get a train, so I have to just get on with this podcast. And I can't start it again, even if I've been ranting. But not ranting. I don't think I'm ranting. I'm saying things that we need to talk about. That there's, yeah, the end. Okay, so Pluto, bitterness, forgiveness as power, the power of forgiveness, and the power of us then as individuals to sort our shit out, basically. To bring things to light, because otherwise it's just getting manifested somewhere in the world, according to Jungian psychology. If you reject that, you reject that. That's fine. Okay, so we've got this new moon in Scorpio coming up at the weekend. Before that, Mercury enters Sagittarius Thursday the 9th. Again, that's a shift from Mercury being in Scorpio, where we're kind of paranoid, possessive, very, very good at looking at detail. We say words with meaning. We're maybe quite secretive. It's highlighting the part of our chart that is ruled by Scorpio, and we are busy and curious in that part of our life. And then Mercury will move to Sag. He'll highlight a different part of your chart. It really is about which part of your chart he's in. And if you, I will be launching Learn to Read Your Birth Chart in the next couple of weeks, just not like a live version. I'll do the lives in January. I will do some lives in January, but not before Christmas because it's before Christmas. But the Buddha videos are there. Yes, I'll be doing that soon. And love doing live things and speaking to people. I think maybe teaching live is a wonderful thing, a beautiful thing. So maybe I've been looking at doing a retreat, and only now, as I sit here and make this, do I think that I could do just a day in London instead of like a whole going away thing, retreat, or 2 days in London, but it's a non-residential and you just like turn up. Maybe that's the trick. Maybe that is the trick. Instead of trying to do an actual retreat, maybe do both. We'll see. But yeah, and I was talking about horoscopes and how like I never wanted to make horoscopes, and most astrologers don't want to make horoscopes. You just do it because it gives you promo. Astrologers who actually love horoscopes, they do exist actually. There are very, very good astrologers who are into horoscopes. And there is some very average astrologers who are into horoscopes. And, you know, you've heard me complain about this before. But ultimately, if Pluto is on your moon, it doesn't matter really which house Mercury is passing through, because Pluto on your moon is going to dominate. And there's so much nuance and detail that needs to be understood in your personal horoscope that sometimes I would, I don't always love horoscopes, but I do find them useful sometimes. Anyway, so Mercury will be entering Sag, increased area that if you've got anything in Sagittarius, you're going to be doing more chatting, more networking in that area. People will be connecting with you. So I am a Sag, so I'm going to be doing a lot more podcasts and interviews over the next week. That's a coincidence, but it's probably not a coincidence. It's celestial alignment. It's like, oh, right. I'm only thinking of it now as I look at it, that Mercury, about the messenger god, about communication, is moving into my sign, and I'm going to be talking to more people. There you go. And whichever part of your chart, it will activate that. He will square Saturn on Friday, this Friday. So I'm curious about the traffic and also about, it's going to be difficult, I think, to say the right thing. It already is, but, backlash. Because Mercury in Sag, it's not great. Mercury likes being Gemini, being intelligent and curious and detail-orientated. And in Sag, it's like broad brush, big generalization. And, I am a Sag, and I'm very aware of my tendency to be like that anyway, which is why I think I get stressed out making a pod or saying things, because I know what I mean, and I know that I'm trying to convey, I'm trying to be open-ended and ask questions and just talk about whatever's going on. But I know that I'm like an elephant just treading on things, smashing around, because I'm a Sag. So bear with. Although, sometimes an awareness of being awkward can be helpful, because at least it's raising questions, even if it is annoying sometimes. So then Friday, we have Mercury opposite you. No, take that back. We have the moon will be in Libra still. The moon moves to Libra, I presume, tomorrow. Yeah, Thursday. Moon and Venus together in Libra. Beautiful for love life, beautiful for relating, beautiful for connecting, for understanding what each other, for making things look nice, for getting on. It's very, very, very harmonious. It's beautiful. Some kind of reconciliation, some kind of union, some kind of connection, some kind of togetherness. So Friday I've already done. The moon will oppose Chiron at a certain point as well. So there's a few sort of crunchy dealing with problems on Friday, which I'm okay with. First day of the retreat, it's going to be very much like, let's assess. Let's dig into that. I'm happy with that for the first day. Saturday, moon will square Pluto again. That's handy because we're doing Pluto all day, and then the moon enters Scorpio, also very good. And then Mercury opposes Mars late in the evening. Now, for everybody, that's be careful with the electrics. Don't lose your temper quickly and do something out of the blue. It doesn't bode well politically. Mars Uranus is like temper, quick temper, because Uranus is quick. But also you can get somewhere fast. You could have a real like woo, meet someone. You could have a very sexual, energetic dynamic with someone, very quick connection. They and also brilliant insights. If you are focused on something, it's very high energy. It's and it's kind of rebellious, rule breaking as well. Let's go outside the norms. Let's be a critical thinker. Let's ask some questions here because I'm prepared to do things differently. And that aspect will still be in play, because it's the 11th of November, Armistice Day. And so there's a lot of talk in the UK about protesting and how protesting for Palestine is not okay on Armistice Day, which is the most bonkers thing I've ever heard. Like 11/11, the day the war stopped, there was peace at the 11th hour on the 11th day in the 11th month, and people are protesting for peace. And they're like, no, you can't. The fuck? Sorry, but I understand everything I've said in this podcast and that there are perspectives, but it still shows this kind of wildly confusing time that we're in, where people are literally fused, confused, like their brains are fucking fused, man. What? But that, some people say, well, it's disrespectful. Well, I don't get it. I mean, maybe I'm unwilling to get it. You're not allowed to protest for peace because it's Armistice Day. Right. Yeah. Anyway, you might think differently, because you might think differently. Okay, so I think that's curious. And given that there's Mars opposition Uranus, they're gonna protest, guys. Because Uranus is the rebel. Uranus is like actually the fact that people is it's gonna bring out more rebelliousness in everybody. But everything, the vaccine, the making healthcare workers who are being damaged, like my friend's dad's nurse who was paralyzed in her arm and then could never work again because of the vaccine. It has never been spoken about, things that you never saw on the news, one of many, many stories that you don't hear about. So when we go and protest to that, the police would start beating the shit out of people. I'd see it, I'd be there. You kind of knew to leave at the end of the day. And then it's on the news like, oh, the violent protesters. Yeah, the police started it. So I imagine that will happen on Saturday. And of course, there are dickheads. There's always dickheads. In every crowd, there's a dickhead. In every classroom, there's a dickhead. But, you can't blame everyone for that. Same with everything. Same with everything. I think we know that. We're wise here. Moon opposition Jupiter on Sunday. What do I want to say about that? Should be abundant, actually. Abundance and magical. And then we move into the new moon on Monday. That is rather spicy because it's, well, it is, isn't it? Sun, Moon, and Ceres and Mars all opposing Uranus and trying to Neptune. I think it's really brilliant. I mean, I think it's. I wrote that it was bullish ages ago, which I'm pleased with myself for doing that. This is an exciting new moon. I know it's been a while since I mentioned crypto, but I'd say this is bullish. And crypto, Bitcoin price. Right. Bitcoin confirms a massive bullish signal. I just Google Bitcoin price and you can see. And if I do, let's put up 1 month. It was at 21,000 on the 11th of October, and it's now £28,000. So it's gone up £7,000 just this month. So yeah, told you. And if you'd read cycles, if you had cycles, then you would have known that, and you would have been buying the dip. But I sold last time Mars opposed Uranus. Okay. So the Mars Uranus opposition is when we had it. Oh no, sorry, just talking about it. Saturday. Saturday is the Mars Uranus opposition. And last time that was the 14th of November 2021. And I was like, out. I'm out of here. I'm out of here, guys, because Uranus flips, it reverses, it's subversive, it's contrary, it does things differently. That's what I mean. Mars opposite Uranus on Armistice Day, people are going to do the opposite of what they're told because it's a Uranus aspect. Things tend to flip at a Uranus. And that's when I started selling, taking profits in 2021 when, and I did make a video, but I'm always too fucking cautious, I know maybe I don't sound it, or maybe I do. I think I do. I'm a bit like, and I made this video warning people being, like, guys, don't listen to the experts. The expert don't listen to me, don't listen to anyone, trust your gut. That was me basically saying this shit. I said, look, Venus is about to go retrograde. She's conjunct Pluto. I looked at the next 3 months and I didn't see any positive astrology for crypto. So that's why I was like, I'm out of this shit. But I only sold like probably 25% of what I had. But at least I trusted myself a bit. So here we are again. And the astrology, there's lots of different things going on now. We don't have Saturn in Aquarius anymore. We have Pluto near the end. This could be the beginning of a massive bull run. You know, it really could in lots of respects. But by the same token, I am still very cautious and bearing that in mind. And it depends on the strategy you're playing. But, you know, not financial advice, obviously, but the chart of Bitcoin works. It really fucking works if you've got the chart for Bitcoin. And maybe like for the people who are interested, because not I appreciate that not everybody is interested. Maybe I should do an event again and go through it. I think it's going to be, I think this weekend's very interesting. I expect a pullback, to be honest. And if not now, by the full moon in Gemini. It could keep on running. But Mercury is going to move into Sag anyway tomorrow. I think that the pullback could be tomorrow because it doesn't love Bitcoin doesn't love mutability. I spoke about mutability at the beginning. It likes fixity. Okay, so that's that. Spoken about crypto, Bitcoin, bitterness, forgiveness, weekend, new moon. The new moon. So what am I saying about the new moon? Well, you know, we do this in the Cosmic Club, really, and it's in cycles. But I would love to share this with you. Here we are. We have a fresh start that is energetic, shocking, exciting, liberating, and requires that we use our mind to be incisive. Scorpio is ruled by Mars. It's sharp and it digs for the truth. In this instance, we have a new moon in Scorpio conjunct Mars, adding to the razor sharp insight of the new moon. Combine that with spicy, sparky Uranus in Taurus, bang opposite the monsoon, moon, sun, Mars conjunction. And here we have a groundbreaking, earth-shattering insight that comes almost out of nowhere and knocks us off our feet. The tarot card Justice is very much associated with truth. I pulled the tarot card Justice for the new moon, as is Uranus. This suggests that something that has been hidden, i.e. Scorpio, is being leaked or revealed. And we now have we now have to set intentions and begin a new cycle that is much more truthful, honest, and real. So I think really a lot of what I'm saying online about this bitterness and forgiveness and being able to let go, this is a new moon for creating space. And a lot of what we're going to do on the retreat this weekend, it is spending the weekend releasing so that we can set intentions on Monday that you've made space. And that's literal space. Energetic space, mental space, all of the space. What can you let go of this weekend? Your ideas, your fixed principles, your ability to see someone else's perspective, to create harmony. Use the moon Venus in Libra. Venus is in Libra. You know that's the opposition, is in getting out of our stuck ways. And it doesn't have to be with other people. It can just be with yourself. And then the intention should be according to the house of your horoscope, really. Which house of your horoscope is the new moon in? Because that's where you go, okay, fresh start. Let's go. Let's start. Let's commit. Because Scorpio is very committed. It's loyal. It's fixed. That's the beauty of fixity. It's fixed. Okay, right. I'm done. The moon then moves into Sagittarius. And so on Monday at some point after the new moon in the States, at least early hours of the 14th in the UK, and then the 14th, 15th is moon in Sag, which is normally great. It's like that's a waxing moon phase. The dreams that you set are growing. There's stuff happening in motion. And if you use this magic, if you work with release and then step into growth, it's very, very powerful. And I'll be in touch on Monday to work with everybody on that. Maybe I'll have everything ready by Monday. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll be like crazy, crazy busy. But I'd like to work with the energy, and I like to work with Scorpio season because it is violently truthful, particularly this year with Uranus so close to the new moon. And it's ruthless. It's like you've got to be ruthlessly honest with yourself. and strong about it, and strong with yourself, and be courageous, because looking at your shadow, looking at the problems and the bitterness and the stuckness is difficult. It's hard work. Like, congratulate yourself if you're able to do it and you manage to do it and stay sane. A lot of people avoid, you know, the world is full of alcoholics and smokers and workaholics, and everybody's avoiding. And there's a kind of ruthless call to action to be like, look, we're all part of this. What choices are we making? Like, it's like, wake up. We're very focused on problems at the minute. And also, is it just the synchronicity? Is it just the universe in the same way that Russell Brand became a story, Philip Schofield became a story? Is there an ulterior motive, or is it just like, this is the collective in play, living out the astrology, and we're being forced to look at what we are creating as a collective by refusing to deal with our shit? Because there is a collective soup that we are part of. And with Saturn in Pisces, we have to understand spirituality and energetics, and thinking that everything is just material and it's just them and it's just over there and it's just their greed for land or money or their fear. If we just think it's them and that we're over here not participating in it spiritually, energetically, then we are denying the reality, because spirit energy exists. We are, everything is vibration, everything is matter, including everything that we think and say and do. And by making it us and them, we're missing the picture. But also, Saturn is in Pisces. Understand the energetics, understand the fear, understand what is going on in how we articulate ourselves and how we treat others, how we treat ourselves, how we treat the land, our focus, our desire, our consumption, what we want to own, how we want to be portrayed, what we're trying to do with our life, what is your goals, what do you want to own, what are you here to accumulate, are you here to work and go on holiday and buy stuff, what is your big spiritual vision, what is your legacy? These are all stuff, you know, it's a very big time of year, and I am going to do something next week, because I think it's to ignore that, to ignore, people pray, you know, when the shit hits the fan, people start praying. You go to church when you're bereaved, even if you don't believe in God. Often people do. And we're at that moment where sudden, you know, things get bad and people start turning to spirituality because you get confronted. That's what happened in 2020. And then there's universal law. There are laws. There are spiritual laws. And then there are laws, and the spiritual laws are always more important than the man-made laws. So with Saturn in Pisces, it's like, what laws are you living by? There's a big difference between what's legal and what's right, and we all need to understand that. We all need to start thinking for ourselves and preparing for Pluto moving into Aquarius, so that we are ready for the collective to lead, for the individuals, because the government as it stands has to be replaced. There has to be this transformation. There has to be this death and rebirth. And is that what we're witnessing? Is that what's going on? That Pluto in Capricorn at the moment, the exposure of the level of ineptitude of global politicians is becoming so obvious that people, it's so bad that everybody's upset. Everybody's going to protest this weekend. A lot of people are going to protest, I'm sure of it. And because it goes, oh, it's Armistice Day, you can't. You can be like, are you fucking mad? Like, shut up. You know, shut. We don't give a fuck what you think. Really. So I think that's how things are moving. As people just go, do you know what? Like, I just don't have any respect for this. Sorry, but nah. What are you on about? If I were in control, we wouldn't be bombing the fuck out of each other. We'd try and find a solution. Because ultimately, everybody involved in this war is a person as just as you and I, with an upbringing, with a childhood, with siblings, with loved ones. And somehow things have gone wrong. Things have gone wrong, and they have been swept up in this. And at a certain point, murder has become the solution. But ultimately, they're people. They're people in the same way that you can go and go to reform prisons. You can go and Does is the individual capable of change? Yes. Is the individual important? Yes. So how do we get through to individuals and stop these things happening? How do you talk to people? Why has this been allowed to go on for so long? Why did this even happen in the first place? Because of fucking bad leaders. Just, you know, if you're a teacher and you had a classroom and you have this going on, you'd sort it out. And of course, there's always going to be rogue situations. But I think because it feels so out of our depth and we don't know what we're talking about. We don't know what we're talking about. And I could be being very naive in saying this. But also, it is true. It's people. And people they're swept up in something bigger than them, a movement that they're just agreeing to. In the same way, when you look at World War II and you think, how the hell did that happen? How did that happen? I wouldn't have done that. Nazi Germany, I wouldn't have done that. You know, that's what everyone thinks. But somehow, it's, you know, I think with race and judgments, it's easy for to think, oh, you know, it's over in the Middle East, like shit happens there. Doesn't really happen here. It's not, but we feel it, everything feels more intimate now. And what is leading to this desperation? How has it got here? And then look at your own life. What wars are you in? What wars are you participating in? Where are you refusing to compromise and meet in the middle? Because we're all part of the soup. Okay, I've said enough. I've said enough. You get what I'm trying to say. I hope. That's all I can say. It's kind of, I'm always aware of saying too much, and I don't want to piss people off, but also the South Node is in Libra and we're not supposed to be sitting on the fence, you know? You're supposed to be North Node in Aries, have your voice, say some stuff, think, and can we do it in a way that is balanced and not trying to hurt, but also with Mars in Scorpio, North Node, Sun in Scorpio, New Moon in Scorpio, we have to observe and acknowledge the challenge and the darkness, because, you know, love and light is the solution, but you have to know what you're up against, I think. And I really don't. I don't have a fucking clue what this globalist thing is. I don't get it. But I would be inclined to believe that there is something shady going on. Okay, this has been the Astrology Oddcast. Thank you for listening, and hopefully see you next week.